Welcome. This is Cheryl at the Talking Information Center. Thanks so much for joining me. Today is Thursday, June 11th, 2026. I'm reading from the Taunton Daily Gazette. The first article is entitled, Congrats to the Class of 2026. Taunton High School held its graduation ceremony on Friday, June 5th. The stands were filled with cheering parents and family members, proudly celebrating as graduates crossed the stage to mark the achievement. Mayor Shauna O'Connell addressed the graduates during the ceremony, as did Class President Alexa Reinhardt. Valedictorian Maya Rachel Amanova also delivered remarks to the graduating class, while Neva Landris and Maya Mendez welcomed family and friends in attendance. Students took photos and selfies with classmates prior to the ceremony and were all smiles as they crossed the football field to receive their diplomas. Before graduation, Taunton High School seniors attended prom on Janelle, dressing up for a memorable evening at the Belle Mare in Newport, Rhode Island, which overlooks the Newport Bridge on a sparkling night, one to remember. The ceremony celebrated the class of 2026 as graduates marked the end of their high school journey and the beginning of a new chapter. How much is an ocean view worth? Imagine living in a large seaside ranch with an expansive lawn rolling to a custom-built seawall. Imagine the ocean view, the scent of salt air, and all the potential for outdoor entertaining. This house is located at 70 Hedge Road in Plymouth, and it can bring all of this to life. Privately situated on 1.6 acres with 340 feet of direct waterfront, this 1930 house features 3 bedrooms, 3 baths, a stone fireplace, a single-car garage, and 2,106 square feet of living space. The property is on the market for the first time in nearly 100 years and listed for $2.29 million. It's a space that can be used to realize your dreams, said listing agent Lauren Mello of Advocate Realty Associates, Inc. The grounds have been used to host spectacular weddings in the past, but I can also see this being space for a larger family compound for present and future generations to add to and to share. Damon Sagarzi, who grew up around the property, remembers visiting his grandparents there on Sunday mornings. Eventually, he became an owner of the distinctive family homestead and witnessed many changes and expansions over the years. Since I have owned it, I have done basic maintenance, along with adding a fairly new oil burner and a new roof, he said. The house offers plenty of interior comfort and charm, with an abundance of natural light, hardwood floors, an immense family room, cozy dining area off the kitchen, and a screened-in porch perfect for chilly nights. One of my favorite parts of the house is the unfinished second floor of the main house, which is a walk-up attic, Mello said. The views are spectacular. I can picture someone creating a huge primary suite with a wall of glass to fully appreciate those views. Sagarzi agreed. It's unique, he said about the attic. A full basement with a full bath is additional space that could be utilized for a guest area, an office, or a gym. An accessory dwelling unit with a full bath, kitchenette, and large living area makes for great studio or rental. The house used to be closer to the ocean, but it was moved back 30 years ago to install a more solid foundation, said Mello. It was a summer home for decades, but has also been used for year-round living as well. The property has a sense of seclusion because of the placement of the house and accessory dwelling unit. It looks just like a house set back from the road. Then, wham, it opens up to a breathtaking panoramic view of Plymouth Bay, said Mello. It's super private, she said. You would never know there's a single-family house there unless you drive onto the property. It's the location that really stands out for her. Walking along the seawall feels like you're in a paradise for anyone who loves the ocean. Sagarzi, who said he's selling because he and his wife are looking for an ideal place to retire, has really enjoyed cooking supper on my grill at the end of the day and looking out over the bay. He'll miss hosting killer lobster boils in the summer the most. This is a great location with a lot of potential, said Sagarzi. If you have a boat, keep it out there in the front. TMLP building a brand new substation on Route 140. Commuters traveling up and down Route 140 in Taunton may have been wondering what's going on with all the tree and vegetation clearing in the residential part of the street. The answer is Taunton Municipal Light Plant is clearing the land to build a new electrical substation. Contractors have been clearing brush, cutting down trees on the 300 to 400 block of County Street, which is Route 140, since mid-March, with plans to begin actual preparation and grading of the site sometime in late summer or early fall. TMLP owns the land being used for the substation. It's being built to provide an additional source of electrical power to the area. Why a new substation? This new substation is being built in response to continued growth and demand in the area and will increase reliability when it comes to supplying electrical power for customers, said Mike Majeski, communications specialist for TMLP. The substation, which will be 16,600 square feet, enclosed with fencing, is being built in partnership with National Grid, he said. The substation will connect to existing nearby transmission lines, which are owned by National Grid and do connect to the electrical grid outside of TMLP's coverage area. National Grid is also building additional infrastructure for this connection with the new substation. Majeski said the substation, besides meeting current power demand, will also accommodate future growth. Partnering with National Grid. Besides generating its own power here in Taunton, TMLP also purchases power from other sources in order to meet demand in the city and other municipality it supplies. This is the case with every public power utility in the country, said Majeski, regarding utility providers needing to meet the needs of their customers. One of these outside sources is First Light, a clean power producer based in Western Mass. TMLP has had a power purchase agreement with First Light since 2018 in order to transport power from other parts of the state and region, like Western Mass. TMLP needs the transmission lines provided by National Grid. While cooperation is needed with National Grid in linking the substation to its transmission corridor, Majeski said National Grid sees no benefit from the project. National Grid did not respond to the Gazette for request for comment at the time of filing this story. Will rates change because of substation? Majeski said the substation project will not have any impact on rates for TMLP customers. Project timeline. Construction of National Grid's components to the substation is currently scheduled to begin this summer after sufficient clearing of trees and vegetation. Site grading and preparation by TMLP is scheduled to start this fall, with construction of the actual substation planned to begin in 2027 with a 2028 completion timeline. Residents and commuters on County Street can expect to see increased construction activity on the site over the next couple of years. Work hours are expected to be between 7 a.m. and 6 p.m., Monday through Friday, with some occasional work on the weekends. You can read more about the County Street Substation Project at TMLP's website. Great white sharks return to Mass waters. It's time to check before you step into the ocean in Massachusetts. Sharks have returned to Bay State waters. The Shark Activity app shows that there have been several shark sightings in the past week, all of them great white sharks. Signs of shark activity started showing up last month when a dead seal was found on Lucy Vincent Beach in Chilmark, Martha's Vineyard, on May 10th. John Chisholm, an adjunct scientist in the New England Aquarium's Anderson Cabot Center for Ocean Life, examined photos of the seal at the time and stated that the bite wound was consistent with that of a white shark, according to the aquarium. Here's what to know about the reported shark sighting since June 2nd. How many sharks have been seen since last week? There were 8 shark sightings, plus 1 unconfirmed sighting last week, according to Sharktivity app. June 2nd, 2026, 4:37 p.m., a white shark was seen off the coast of New Bedford. June 3rd, 2026, 9 a.m., a white shark was seen 1 mile south of Chatham South Cut, eating a seal. June 3rd, 2026, 10 a.m., a white shark was videoed by a fisherman. June 3rd, 2026, 1 p.m., unconfirmed sightings of a white shark. June 5th, 2026, 10:26 p.m., fishermen had a white shark try to take a striper. June 6, 2026, 9:55 a.m., an 8-foot great white was spotted by fishermen, and then the shark breached near the boat. June 6, 2026, 1:56 p.m., a juvenile great white was seen off the coast of New Bedford. June 7, 2026, 11:16 a.m., a white shark took striper and umbrella rig. June 7, 2026, 4 p.m., a white shark was caught and released by fishermen on Nantucket. When did great whites show up in Massachusetts? Last year. This is right on time for sharks to be returning to Massachusetts waters. Last year, the first shark of the season was spotted on May 11th at the western end of Nantucket. A witness noticed a pool of blood coming from a seal off Smith's Point in Mattaquet, Nantucket. That day, according to a release from the aquarium, this is just the beginning of white shark season in New England. It serves as a good reminder to be mindful of the presence of these sharks in inshore waters, Chisholm said at the time. Their numbers will continue to increase throughout the summer with peak activity occurring in the fall. What steps should people take to be safe with sharks returning? Chisholm said people should be aware of sharks' presence in shallow waters, avoiding areas where seals are present or schools of fish are visible, staying close to shore where emergency responders can reach you if needed. How many types of sharks are in the Massachusetts waters? Ryan Nautek, an associate research scientist with the New England Aquarium, told USA Today Network in 2023, there are at least 23 species of sharks that call New England waters home or that pass through the region. Those include hammerheads, basking sharks, blue sharks, short fin, makos, poor beagle sharks, sand tiger sharks, and others. Where can people report, keep track of shark sightings? The aquarium noted in a report that the public can report sightings and stay informed on shark activity through the Atlantic White Shark Conservancy Sharktivity app. Sharktivity provides information and push notifications on white shark sightings, detections, and movements to raise awareness and to help people and sharks coexist, according to the aquarium. In business news, summer hiring to hit record low for teens. Lifeguards, stalkers, camp lead jobs demand. Teens hoping to land a summer job may have a tough time finding one. Last summer, teens hiring fell to its lowest level in nearly 8 decades of Bureau of Labor Statistics data, and forecasters predict it could be even lower this summer. A Challenger, Gray and Christmas report predicts American teens will gain 790,000 jobs across May, June, and July, down from 801,000 last summer. Last month, 5.193 million workers between the ages of 16 and 19 were employed, down from 5.487 million in April last year, according to BLS data. With fewer teens already on payrolls, heading into the busiest hiring months, the runway for a strong summer is narrower than it has been in years, the report announced. Why are teens' hiring expectations low? Teens are facing the same challenging low-hire environment as adult job seekers. While U.S. employers added well over 100,000 jobs in March and April, hiring remains concentrated in select sectors like healthcare, social assistance, industries not typically known for employing high schoolers. A few factors are contributing to this low hire environment. The Challenger report identifies 4. Rising inflation and oil prices pushing up the cost for businesses. Self-checkout and automation replacing cashier and customer service roles. Competition from older workers seeking out similar jobs. And smaller teen labor force participation rate. It notes that while the rate was 50% in the late 70s and 80s, today it's 33.8% as teens pursue sports, academic programs, and other summer opportunities instead. Brad Sugars, a business coach and founder of Actions Coach, added that as an entry-level opportunities decline for recent college graduates, teenagers are also competing with them. That college graduate that would have gone and got a full-time job is now going back into the part-time market, said Sugars. Corey Cantanja, head of economics for the Americas at LinkedIn, explained how the high prices that consumers are seeing at gas pumps may affect their teenagers' ability to land a job at their local grocer. You need to get new deliveries of bread, fruit, vegetables. In order to get those deliveries, often they have to be driven on a truck, he said. As fuel prices rise, businesses need to make up for those higher delivery costs somewhere. Where do folks cut? They cut in areas where they feel like they can have a little bit more flexibility, and that often younger workers are affected. Businesses are contending with more than just rising input cost. Everything in the economy is connected to everything else. Indeed, seniors, are there still job opportunities for teens? Hiring trends vary by the region. Teens may also find more opportunities in tighter labor markets. Nationally, there are few bright spots. Employment platforms are seeing increased demand for lifeguards amid a years-long national shortage. Contegna said, this year there also appears to be a growing need for shelf stalkers, camp counselors, restaurant hosts, and servers. There's likely to be some opportunities still within retail and hospitality. They're just going to be a bit more targeted. So it's important to know. I may not necessarily be able to get that summer assistant manager training role, but maybe that host role is still available. The Challenger report included some tips for teens trying to land a summer role. It advises they start looking now, as June is the most popular month for teen hiring. Tap their friends and families for opportunities. Keep their online presence clean and polish their resumes. College grads who had any work experience on their resume were more than twice as likely to land a job after graduation within 3 months than their peers who didn't. ZipRecruiter economist Nicole Backoud said, adding even first-time job seekers should highlight any work experience they have. A babysitting gig, or if you planned a garage sale for your neighborhood, anything that can really show organization and communication, those skills that employers are truly looking for. Also in business news, EU's new entry system leads to delays. Hours-long airport lines caused by the transition. Heading to Europe this summer? You may want to pack your patience, as some travelers report hours-long lines trying to enter the European Union under its new screening process. After a gradual rollout, which started October 12th, the EU fully implemented the biometric entry-exit system at all border crossings in the 29-country Schengen area on April 10th, with face and fingerprint scans replacing manual passport stamps, according to the European Union's website. The digital system aims to streamline and better secure border crossings for non-EU nationals on short stays. However, the transition has reportedly led to long waits at airport custom lines and even some missed connections. According to The Independent, British travelers have been warned of waits up to 6 hours at popular European destinations, such as Italy, Portugal, and Spain. One traveler at Brussels Airport told Newsweek that biometric kiosks were not yet operating or were out of service, and said communication to passengers was lacking. According to new research by the World Travel and Tourism Council, these delays could turn travelers away from European trips. As with any major transformation, there will be inevitably teething problems, said WTTC President and CEO Gloria Gravina in a news release. The challenge now is not whether EES should proceed, but how governments, border authorities, and the travel and tourism sector work together to ensure implementation is as smooth as possible. WTTC surveyed over 2,500 travelers from Australia, Canada, the United Kingdom, and the United States, finding that if travelers face regular border waits of 3 to 4 hours when entering the Schengen area, around one-third would become much less likely to travel to Schengen or would choose not to visit it at all. Inflation report shows spiking prices. Consumer prices rose again in May, Labor Department data showed, further squeezing Americans' budgets as consumer sentiment sat at record lows. The department's Consumer Price Index, which is its measure of inflation, saw prices rose 0.5% from April to May. Over the year, they are up 4.2%, in line with forecasters' expectations and representing the steepest increase in 3 years. Core CPI rose 0.2% over the month and 2.9% over the year. Core CPI measures the rate of price increases, excluding volatile food and energy cost. A rise in core inflation can sometimes signal that higher oil prices are feeding into broader input cost, though the passage through is usually limited. Economist, watch it for signs that energy shocks may be spreading throughout the economy. It rose 0.2% from April to May, following a 0.4% rise in April, 0.2% increases in March and February. Electricity prices in April rose 6.1% from the same period a year ago, and are expected to continue climbing, further squeezing people's budgets this summer. Families are getting hit from both sides, said Mark Wolf, executive director of the National Energy Assistance Directors Association. Electricity prices continue to rise. Hotter summers mean households need to use more electricity, simply to stay safe. The result is that Americans are paying substantially more to cool their homes than they were just a few years ago. Average residential electricity expenditures this summer are expected to increase 10.5%, rising to about $792 monthly in 2026 from $717 last year, according to the NEADA and the Center for Energy Poverty and Climate. Elevated inflation has forced some Americans to cut back on spending, but that can only get them so far, said the economist. The persistent price increases in necessities are the biggest burden on Americans, is what they said. For middle-income households, the challenge is not only prices are higher, it's that the most unavoidable expenses, like food, gas, utilities, are absorbing more of each paycheck, said Premier Economist Amy Cruz Cutts. That leaves families with less room to save, pay down debt, or plan for future needs. Well, that ends our segment. Thanks so much for joining me, and I wish you a wonderful week ahead.